our last call of this series.
Say it isn't so.
Well, one door closes, another door opens.
Yeah, that's what my ex-husband told me.
Oh. Well, it was true, wasn't it? Did you just mute yourself?
I said, oh, yeah.
Oh. So, love and growth. Where are we at with that? What have you seen? What have you realized? What's on your minds? Over to you.
We can't find the words, apparently.
Well, Nina, I want to ask you to repeat your quote that you put in your email, because I've said it now, this is the third time. To me, that sums it all up.
What did I say?
It was the quote from, I think, Elliot that was in your...
Oh.
Somehow...
Yes.
We finished to arrive at the beginning.
Let me pull it from the book, because then I won't mash it up.
Thank you.
I get my notebook too. Let me ask, they don't have
There's something about that quote that really resonates with me, because I feel like I may be at the same spot, but I have this awareness now. And so it is different, but I don't know that I've fit. Go ahead and say it.
Okay. So it's from T.S. Eliot's poem called Four Quartets. And it's at the end, pretty much at the very end. Yeah. And this is the quote. We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time.
I like that.
So how did that strike you, Joy?
Well, I think that this 10 weeks has been an exploration. And as I put in my sort of summary to you, I feel like it's been an incredibly unique experience in that we're all on our own journeys and we get to explore ourselves individually at our own pace, but with the group, which while you started out as strangers, you're no longer strangers. I love you. I physically can't hug you, but I virtually hug you. And I think to be able to journey like that in a safe place, in a compassionate place, in a no judgment place, and a we're not here to fix you place, is such a unique opportunity. But so our life is this journey of exploration and learning and growth. But we also realize, what is the last part of that to arrive at the beginning? It's
and
like
know it. And know it.
And know it. We've gained a consciousness, but we also recognize how much there may still be to learn or to grow, but we're okay with it. Maybe not so afraid of it. So I don't know. That just resonates so much with me. And I'm going to have to print it as soon as I get rid of all the pieces of paper in my house. Anyway. It's a journey.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's lovely.
Nina, I'm sure that I've probably shared this with you, but I obviously haven't shared with the rest of the group. But, you know, I had a very, I guess, literal translation of that poem happen where I was, you know, traveling and I was teaching abroad, and then last March that all came to an end because of the virus. So I came back home, back to like my, you know, where I grew up. And it's interesting because now it's almost been a year since that happened, which is crazy, first of all. But it seems like, you know, now that I've been here, it's like, you know, this is a totally new and fresh start. And, you know, this is my childhood bedroom pretty much. And it's just a, you know, it's definitely not the same. Even it wasn't even the same as when I got back here last March. So I spent so much time traveling and, you know, trying to find myself. And, you know, now over the last year, I've discovered more about myself and about this new understanding of, you know, creating and creativity and love. And it's just a totally different feeling than it was even a year ago when I got back here. So I think that that's just, it was interesting. Like you come, go back to the beginning where you started and, yeah, you're here for the first time. So I've heard that quote a few times and I love it. And it just resonates so much because it was very, very literal. So I appreciate, all of this. And I think that Joy said it very nicely where it was like, we were all strangers, but now it's, I don't know. It's definitely not. It doesn't feel like strangers. It hasn't felt like strangers for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's lovely. Thank you. So I'm curious, what's different in terms of the feeling for you from last March to this March or even 10 weeks ago?
I guess it's just, you know, the feeling is totally different. It's, you know, I came home and I was like, you know, I was upset that I wasn't able to travel anymore. And, you know, now I was living with my parents and there's like a big stigma on that. but, you know, it turned out to be a pretty good thing. So the feeling now is like, you know, I feel so lucky that I was able to have that time off and be able to join groups like this, you know, when I wouldn't have been able to join 12 o'clock on a Wednesday if you know, I was still traveling or, you know, doing whatever. Who knows if I would have even met you, Nina. That would have been a real tragedy of 2020 if that didn't happen. So all these different people coming into my life, even though I haven't been technically able to meet them in person, it's been really amazing that technology could do this and could bring us all together.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, who would have thought that a year ago we would have all been spending so much time on Zoom and how many new people we would have met as a result of it, you know? Big difference.
Yeah, and I remember one of the first coaching sessions I ever did was with a kid I was teaching with, and he really wanted to come back to the States. And I was talking to him about like, well, you want to do real estate, like, why aren't you reaching out to people? And he said, you know, you can't have a relationship with someone over the internet. And that was, you know, before all this happened. And I was kind of like questioning it. I was like, are you sure about that? Because I don't know if I believe that. And I mean, now that's clearly been just completely debunked.
Yeah.
I just so resonate with saying what you said in everything that's been said, because Nina knows better than anyone, and my friend Kathleen in the group, but I use the word technophobe. Martin, you kind of laughed about that with I'm on my iPad, but I said, you can't connect with people on the internet. And if it wasn't for Nina's gentle persuasion, because I resist, they used to call me au contraire, I'm not going to do it. You're not going to push me. And I was talking with a friend about the fact that, if anything, this may be the perfect forum for a group. It may be better to communicate in this forum than in person. And I also extrapolated from this an issue with my granddaughter, who more than likely is suffering from some serious mental health issues, and she's 10. And her parents, our daughter and her husband, are worried that they can't meet in person. And I said, you know, kids especially are so connected to the internet. It may be easier for Georgia to connect in that way. And then I thought back to the fact that years ago when I was in counseling in the early 70s, when I did counseling at St. Anne Institute in Albany, the way I get the girls to talk to me was to actually turn them around and I'd scratch their heads and stuff. So they were never looking right at me. Or with my own, our own daughter, she's my stepdaughter, to take her out for a car ride. And then she talked to me. So sometimes it not being right direct, you know, face to face, it could, this may just open things up more. So I'm just overjoyed by that, this discovery. It's opened up whole new horizons for me for communicating with friends and family.
That's great. Who knew, right?
Who knew?
I'm not driving anymore. I don't have a very tidy
oh no, then you can't speak
to this. But I do feel like I love that Eliot quote, and it sort of feels labyrinthical to me, you know, like you're almost there right on the spot and then suddenly you're as far away as you know, it seems like you'll never get to that place that represents, you know, home, real home. Which I guess if there were a theme that's been running for the last couple of years and for my whole life, but for the last couple of years, it would be home, mm-hmm. you know, finding home and that place where I feel completely safe and loved and free and, you know, just, you know, but, and I don't know if in human time, in our human bodies, we ever get to that place where we can just be there and be there always, but I think we can get there more and more. So that's what I value about these moments together and the ideas that help to remind me and, you know, just keep coming back. It's like sewing. You know, it's like the needle goes up and then the needle comes down and you get, and you know, getting stitched. I don't know, that analogy, I'm not sure, it just came to me, so it may or may not work. But you know, anyway, that's really just having the touchstone of just having the touchstone, it's always necessary. I mean, it's just always necessary. It's always necessary. It's never a done deal. And so for me, love and growth is about that. It's about, I guess in a way it's about training attention, but it is about training attention, but it's also, you know, it's never going to be completed. So I'm grateful for these stepping stones along the path. Mm.
I don't know why this came to mind when you were talking about home, but did you ever see the movie Field of Dreams?
Oh yeah, of course. Kevin
Costner movie. So there's one point fairly on in the movie where the ball players are going back into the cornfield and one of them stops and turns around and asks Kevin Costner, he says, "Is this heaven?"
Right.
And Kevin Costner says, he kind of laughs. He says, "No, this is Idaho." And then he stops and he says, "Maybe this is heaven."
Right.
You know, and maybe we are always at home, but we don't know it because so many things get in the way of our recognizing it.
That's funny you say that, Nina. I had just written that down. And by the way, it's Iowa, not Idaho, because that's my favorite movie.
And I'm from Iowa, so that's why it's a joke.
Oh, I want to go to Iowa. I want to go to the Field of Dreams. You know, it's open. You can go there.
I've actually never been.
But the Yankees are playing there this year. Ah. They're having like a real baseball game there.
All right, I'm going.
Are they really?
Yeah, the Yankees are playing the White Sox.
Yep.
Oh,
Leslie, yeah. Road trip.
Road trip.
Hopefully.
If you guys are planning a road trip, you can email me and I'll give you all the tips and the best fried food to eat. Born and raised there for 26 years, so I
why don't we just all meet? We should all meet there.
Or keep going to Utah. Come to Utah.
I'll come there.
Yeah. Wherever out in the area, I just had said, come one, come all. But
yay. You know,
there's lots to go. Yeah.
Cross country trip on the calendar.
Love and acting takes the road.
Love and acting, right.
That, it was all,
we get, brought, we all get a bus TV series.
good idea.
It's a great idea. I'll organize it.
Okay.
Love and action untethered.
Get away.
Watch out.
So what I was going to add to that was that isn't home really where we are? And I, you know, there's so many times in my adult life now that my boys are older that I would love to go back and buy my childhood home in Syracuse. What a great way to go back. But then I get thinking about, can we really go back? And will it ever be the same? I don't think we can really ever fully go back. Maybe embrace the home we have and the home we've created for our children and our spouses and our partners. And so I was just going to say that because I'm always pulled, you know, should I go back to Syracuse or stay in Albany and all my crew's here? But maybe home is where we're at in the present.
You know, home is where the heart is.
Right.
Leslie and Mary, you guys, what you're saying is interesting. Mary, remind me, I'll send you my website. You can see some embroidered floor plans I used to design. It was all about the idea of home. And I think it's based on what you said, you'd probably dig it. But I think a lot about that, Leslie, because, you know, every so often I go back and my entire family is in Iowa pretty much, except for a few siblings. And I have a very, very large family. I have like 40 first cousins.
Oh my gosh.
There's like 100 living descendants of my grandfather. You know, he's like 96. No, there's more than that now. There's like 103 or something. He's got like 3 great, great grandkids. But anyway, the point is there's a lot of people and it's like this different, like when I go home to Iowa, which I've lived here for 15 years, in New York, I feel like time, a version of myself stops. And then I pick up an older version of myself when I'm there. And it's strange because it almost as if I live in two different realities sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I spent a lot of time when I moved to New York, like thinking about home and family and all those things. And, you know, always kind of figuring out like, how does that all fit? And I think for me, what I found is there's this really interesting like gift that distance gave me where I can start to like kind of assess who I am in relation to my past. And I actually have a place I attach it to as opposed to being in the same place.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you ask that question about growth, I don't talk too much about my personal life too often, but I mean, I do all the time, just trying not to. I think about Rubik's Cube a lot this last year. I'm not good at that game, but, I like to think that it's kind of like you're working with the same set of pieces and you keep twisting and turning them into different visual combinations. The more you tinker with it, you have to almost look at it again, a new way, and then twist and turn a little bit more and you try to make sense of it and you're kind of flipping it around. And for me, this last year has been understanding things in myself and the world one way. And having and tinkering with that Rubik's Cube and not even knowing there was one side of it, like just discovering it for the first time. That's what I think like this last year's had. There's been some really unexpected things that I haven't shared that happened earlier in the summer that just totally upended my reality and my sense of the world completely outside of the pandemic. And it changed the way I related to the world in such a way that
it actually altered my dynamic with my life, my family, and my home. And so to me, growth, but in that came a rediscovering of pleasure that I used to have when I was younger, like playing the piano. It came with a certain kind of acceptance and freedom and openness with art that I didn't think of. It came with creating boundaries with people I didn't think I needed boundaries with. And so that's a really long answer, but everybody was kind of like saying little things. I'm like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. And to me, that's what I think growth is. And at the heart of it for me, and what I got a lot out of this conversation I've listened to when I wasn't here as well, is that idea of shifting energy, and that idea of, you know, possibilities. Like just like the more possibilities. So for me, and I'm this is the last thing I'll say, I make being goals instead of doing goals every year. And my being goal this year is to think about everything with possibility.
Yay. I love that.
Yeah. Love it.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Because why not? I love what you shared, Jen. And we obviously don't know the details, and we don't really need to know them, but I think we've all had our challenges this year in one form or another. But who doesn't feel a certain kind of excitement about the, even the word possibility? It's like, really? Me? I could? And that option, we forget about it when things look scary or dark or threatening, or they actually are to us. You know, we have that actual experience, not that it just looks that way, but it has been that way. But to realize that we at any moment have another choice, where to put our attention, another side of the Rubik's Cube, to really know that, or remember it when we especially need it, boy, that opens everything. And I think from everyone here, I can say that I've seen that possibility light up in your eyes at some point over these last 10 weeks. And I will say for myself, this experience has really exceeded my expectations. It's just, I always look forward to it, and I love what people say, and I love the connections that have been made with people, and I love what's been posted, and I'm so happy that you've had the experiences that you've had, that boy, you know, I applaud you for being willing to be open and honest and have fun exploring and see what you saw. So I'm grateful for all of you and what you collectively contributed.
You know, one more thing just occurred to me about growth, which is, at the first meeting that I tuned into, Nina, you delivered the beautiful Rumi poem, The Guest House. Mm-hmm. And I realized that sort of my default thinking about growth is linear, is like, you know, getting better at piano, or, you know, it's sort of like there's a measurable, like, you know, mark on the wall. I used to be five and now I'm 5'10", like that kind of growth. Or like the way a plant grows up towards the sun. But really, I think like the growth that I aspire to, and that maybe even happens organically, is like an enlarging, like acceptance, sort of rounder, more, you know,
this being multi-dimensional.
Is a guest house, you know, like every day a new arrival, and, you know, I welcome them all. Sometimes it's, you know, a sea of sorrows that sweeps through your house and, you know, reduces you to tears, and other days it's like, you know, I can't recite the whole poem from memory, but I've read it enough times and felt about it enough times to like, that is really like, it's a softening, you know, it's not like a, it's a softening and a receptivity. It's, yeah. And I think that's definitely part of the value of this coming together.
Yeah. What poem is that, Mary? And I have to say it because you said linear, and so my mind went immediately to quantum physics. Is it like a quantum physics versus a Newtonian physics kind of growth? Or expansion? Anyway, just a joke. What poem is that, Mary?
It's The Guest House. It's called The Guest House. I think Nina might have posted it here.
Yeah, and it's on the forum somewhere.
Yeah, it's a Rumi poem.
Yeah. Okay.
Very. It wouldn't be Love in Action Group if you didn't make a joke about quantum physics, Joy.
That's right.
My whole perspective has changed. Quantum everything.
I think I've mentioned this physics. Physicist Amit Goswami, who has started a university based on that's associated with some university in India based on quantum physics. And so he's written, I think, 14 books on quantum physics and their application to creativity, to consciousness. I mean, it's kind of mind-blowing. But when you realize that life is not linear, boy, that, you know, talk about possibilities. It's not linear. Life is not linear. Our understanding isn't linear. And that's freedom.
I read that book,
Kathleen, I can't hear you very well.
I read the book, The Possibility Principle.
Uh-huh.
I think you had something from that on the Love in Action website. I can't remember, but it came across it because of you in that website. And it is, I mean, you were saying about thinking in terms of possibility and how expanding that is. And it's, and I didn't, it made me realize how much I wasn't thinking that, you know, I was like really closed in as to what, I don't even know if it was like options. I just wasn't creatively thinking about my life, I would say. And then I started thinking about it. I mean, to me, it was just like, whoa, think possibility. Like, so like, what do I want my life to be like in 2021, for instance, you know, rather than what resolutions do I want to make? And so it had a real positive spin on it too. But what I did decide, and I'm really excited about this, was I have every January, I want to do a dry January. And I failed every January. And I have a friend that does it. And by the 15th, I'm like, okay, I didn't do it. I gave up and stuff. And then I went, I'm going to do it. But it wasn't because, the reason I decided to do it this time wasn't because, oh, it's better to not do, you know, not drink alcohol. It was like, I want more functional time in the evening, you know? And if I sit and have a glass of wine or two glasses of wine, then I'm going like, oh, I don't care what I was going to do. I don't feel like doing it anymore. So then I wasted time. I mean, lots of time. I go on the internet, watching TV and stuff. And I went, that was one, I want more time in my life. I want to be more, go for the things I want to do and make the time and have the energy to do them. So, I mean, it's been great. And then I looked at things. I went, well, how can I make it possible for me to do this since I failed so many times? And I went, well, I'm going to figure out all the triggers. And that was like really funny. I went, well, just about every place in my house I drank a glass of wine is a trigger. If I sit on my couch, you know, if I do this. And then I went, okay. So then I went, well, I went, every friend I've ever had a drink with is a trigger. And I was going, this is really bad. So I haven't seen friends that are drinking wine or anything. And then after 2 weeks, I was going, I can do this. It's not, you know, I'm doing it. And now next week, or actually this week, I'm going over Friday to a friend. And I said, I want you to have two glasses out and wine and offer me wine and drink wine. And I'll be able to go, thanks, but no thanks, you know? So, but I've been doing that a lot, is just thinking about, and then I go, the possibility, I went, well, if I did this, there's possibilities I could do all kinds of other things, you know? So it's been exciting.
That's
cool. Well, and that's the interesting thing about going home. If I had stayed home and never left Syracuse, I would have been an alcoholic. There's no question in my mind, because all the triggers, you know, all the friends that you grew up with drinking with and smoking, you know, cigarettes. And there are so many reasons why I needed to leave. Mm-hmm. And it was a good thing. And I love the fact that you, you know, I'm the same way. Like, I got to have, every now and then, I got to have that vodka tonic on that, you know. It may not even be on a Friday. It might be on a Monday. I'm retired. What do I care, you know? I got to be careful, you know.
You have to be careful, especially with the thing was when this assault on the Capitol, I went, oh, wow, am I going to, you know, this is something that I would have got. I've got to have a drink. It's perfectly okay to have one. So I was going like, is it possible that you could say no? It was like really kind of cool, you know.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I feel really good about. Then so what you said, Mary, about, I mean, I have learned so much from each of you. And I'm really bad with words today, I think, because it's been such an emotional day with that poem was out of this world.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so I kind of like, I can't find words in my head and stuff, but there was a part of me that was like closed off that I didn't even know was closed off. And then, you know, like looking at love as energy and feeling it and experiencing it made me realize how I was shutting it down, you know. Mm. And like you said, Mary, about having a touchstone, that's what it's given me. Like I can experience my own energy far better than I did before. And in experiencing it, I mean, that's all kind of levels. It's not just, you know, it's like being aware, being more conscious, being more open, being more, the word isn't controlling it, but it's like having that touchstone. It's like having true north. You go, ooh, there's true north and look where I am, you know, like, but without self-judgment, not going like, I mean, it's just been, it feels better to be in that, experiencing that energy and nurturing that energy than not being conscious of it.
Yeah.
So that's all, I'm out of words now. But thank everybody. I want to thank everybody that it's just been a very powerful and unexpected experience.
Yeah.
So
thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for being part of it.
Yeah. You're welcome. It's been my pleasure.
Can I add something quickly? I want to tie back what you said, Kathleen, to heart math and what you had posted, Nina, because I had my first biofeedback class yesterday morning, excuse me, and thank goodness it was the heart math. And I think that you can download the application for free. And I think you just have to pay for the sensor, which you connect to your ear and somehow it knows how your heart is beating. But one of the things that I found interesting is that there's a difference between relaxation, which lowers, I guess, or slows the pace of our, and I'm looking at the website, but it's different than being relaxed, being in coherence, which is when your brain and your heart are sort of in alignment. And that actually when you're in coherence, you are more stimulated. And so you're relaxed, but it's not relaxation where you don't want to do anything. And as you said, you might watch TV, you know, I might binge out on Netflix. So it's interesting to me that there is this difference. And what I also found interesting is that the heart impacts the brain more than the other way around. So learning about heart math actually helps our brains. So do headstands, as Leslie said. But I thought it was very interesting, because my go-to is a glass of wine at night. And that's how I unplug. But like you, I want my energy. So it's exploring that a bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think the application is free and you just pay for the sensor, and you can use it with an Android or an Apple device if you choose to explore that.
Interesting.
This is not an affiliate link, by the way.
No, I've done it before, though, and I think there's really something there to it. It, not just for the health benefits in terms of reducing stress and blood pressure and improving the health of your heart.
Yeah.
But there's also something psychologically and I think emotionally to it. It's
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I think that they probably say in heart math, and I learned it during my stint doing energy medicine, is that the energy of the heart is way bigger. The energy field of the heart is way bigger than the brain.
Yeah.
And the heart and the brain are in resonance, it creates an alert sense of relaxation, not a going to sleep one, but you're alert.
Energized.
What was that, Mary?
Energized.
But not jittery.
Hyper. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Not hyper. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, or it wasn't really, it was a thought, but it wasn't a train of thought, that one of the things we didn't talk about was, one subject was horses. Now, I know Connie's a big horse lover, and there's probably other people here too, but horses have huge energy fields. They're like 20 feet out energetically, and they are so incredibly sensitive to humans that there's so much to learn if you ever have the opportunity to be around horses, or they're not called therapy horses, but the name is eluding me at the moment, but therapy, I don't remember what it's called. But anyway.
But it is therapy. It's therapeutic riding.
Group.
Yeah. Because they're so sensitive. And it made me think of TED Talks that was on highly sensitive people, which also made me think of my granddaughter. She just feels everything so deeply. And it's a burden. But they are so sensitive, and they've often been maligned as a crazy horse. And it's because they are so intuitive and they feel so much. Yeah. So, just stop there. I won't stop.
Yeah. Maybe we'll cover that in the next one. Yeah. We not only cover love and animals, but we covered love and nature, but it could be a subcategory.
Elephant sensitivity.
Oh.
Dolphins.
Yes.
Crows. Yeah,
It's sometimes hard. I had a hard time when I worked with some rescue groups, because it became debilitating, because the more I was exposed to it, the more heartbreak I experienced. And I had to learn how to cope with that. And with horse rescues in particular. And you can feel, I think I said one time, the good news, bad news, you feel the feelings, but everything about this group has made feelings, I thought, safer. I feel safe feeling them. They're heightened, and talking to everyone here and feeling a connection online, it's like, everything's in color instead of being black and white. And I'm overwhelmed by what has happened And I guess it helps to have a low expectation because I came into the group. I even came in 15 minutes late. I didn't prioritize it. I could have been ready at 10 o'clock the first day, but I'm like, this and that. And now my whole day was around this group. I walked with a friend, Stacy, and she'll be moving, but I grab every time I can, every bit. And I said, it's gotta be before 4:20. This group is a big priority in my life. All of you have become that. And I was very serious when I said, we are in a beautiful part of the country. We all have beauty where we live. It's the beauty of making home where we are. And I left where, like Nina and many of you live, the Albany area, after being there 66 years. And I'm like, oh, well, but we had been to Utah. And I was thinking back to what people were saying about their homes. And Jennifer, when you were speaking, I thought, for some reason, Twilight Zone flashed, because so much of Rod Sterling was about going back to a place in time. And when I come back to Albany, I go to Northville, for anyone who lives around the area. And that is my golden pond, my spiritual home for the area. And Northville is just one of those towns. It's like out of Twilight Zone or a time warp. It never changes. And because of, actually, in a strange way, the poverty of the town is in Fulton County, they kept the stores and the storefronts. It wasn't modernized. And now it's the charm of Northville. So it's very close to my heart for anyone who knows. And if you don't, go up to Northville. You live in the Albany area.
I was looking at property up there. Oh. North Creek and Northville. I love it. I love it. Oh, Garnet so Hill, Gore Mountain, they're my go-to mountains, man. Like joy. I'm so ready to go to my mountaintop.
Yes. Nice. We have to do a pilgrimage to all these places.
I know.
I've got to show you all something because, and especially Jennifer, I just want to see if you all agree with me. I was reading an article about Virginia Woolf, the author. Looking at her picture in the article, I'm going, I know there's somebody I know that looks just like her, and I couldn't think of it. And Jennifer, yeah. It's you. Look at the, can you all see this?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
See it? Yeah. Very cool.
Can you see it, Jennifer? You think you don't?
I mean, sure. I don't know.
Turned your head, it was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
it's a beauty. It's a timeless beauty.
Oh well, thank my parents for the genetics.
Up though and see that picture if you do.
I wanted to highlight something that you said about feelings and that willingness or that capacity to, as the guest house says, welcome them all. Because when they lose their fearsomeness and you realize that they come and they go and they don't have to dominate your life, they're not nearly as awful to experience. And that's growth. That's an example, a really clear example. I mean, everyone has shared examples, but that especially of being able to go through the depths as well as the heights and not be knocked off of your home base. That's really a great example of growth.
And I also, I turned 70, so I put a silly birthday picture, but it's never too late. And I, in a way, I needed to leave Albany, but part of it was my closest relationship. I always think of Susan and her sister, but has been with my sister, but she, for her own mental health reasons, shut down her feelings, but she was my older sister. She is. And so I just learned to use that to protect myself And I can remember things she'd say. You know, don't ever marry or don't ever have kids because you're one step from welfare. And in a sense, that's true in the 60s because women weren't getting child support. But I took so many things literally and to heart. So this is just great. And thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, you are not 70 years old. You do not look it.
Oh, I'm just saying, I think we're all at heart. That's what I love about this group. We, you know, age is just a number. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. You start to really see what does matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason behind my headstand video, because part of what I'll also share with you girls, I'm doing a video to show you what you can do at home as like a workout fitness routine where you don't have to buy a lot of equipment and stuff. And it's really good body stuff. It's easy. I'll walk you through it. I did a video of it earlier. I just haven't posted it yet. So being a gymnast, we were always flipping over and headstands and handstands and stuff like that. And I hadn't done a headstand since teaching back at UAlbany in maybe 84. I mean, I can't remember. Well, maybe a little after that. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try to do a headstand again. And I'm addicted. I do them. You got to try it. You got to do it. It's like
never too late.
Never too late. Get a spotter. Get your pillow. Yeah. Get your wall. You got to do it.
Leslie, you might have to start with like a somersault for, you know, some of us. I can't even... I'll tell you what, next time I want to make you laugh, I'll send you a video of me trying to like get to that, and only you can watch it.
Yeah. It'll... Okay.
Leslie, that reminded me of this great scene in the Office, the show The Office. And
I love The Office.
It's one of the guy's New Year's resolutions to do a cartwheel. And he does like the worst cartwheel ever. And he's like, that's it. That's all I had to do for the whole year.
And I'm done.
I was going to say, Leslie, I don't know if you got my very corny joke that it would give me a new perspective.
Yes, yes, I did. Upside down.
Rubik's
cube. I was telling somebody about it today, and I said, I think I need to clear the room of lamps and the animals before I try it. And I'm glad you suggested the pillow because... Somebody
the wall. Well, use the wall.
I forget sometimes my age, and so I think I can do the things that I used to do. Mm-hmm. And then I found out after the fact that probably not so much. So I'm glad you suggested the pillow, and I'm going to put a couple of more protective measures in there. But I do think it will give me a new perspective, literally and figuratively.
Good. Well, that's all you can do is try.
Is all about right.
Right.
What about those things? A farrier I got, he used to protect his back, tilt on one of those things you tilt upside down.
Yeah, so anti-gravity.
Yeah, and I've heard that's a really good thing.
I have.
They're excellent. They really are, especially if you have back problems. You need to, they go pretty high up. So I can't fit one in my basement right now, but I'm working on it.
Thing to be said for being upside down.
Yeah, upside down. Well, think of the blood flow all day long. Yeah. Our blood flows down, right? Yeah. It's going south, and we need to get it to go up, right? Yeah. Eyes, heart, head, brain.
Doesn't help if you just bend over.
Sure.
It does, actually. But you can also lay on your back and put your legs up against the wall.
True.
And reverse the lymph fluid toxins from your body, but it's good you share that, Leslie, because sometimes we don't always remember the physical with the emotional or the mental.
Mm-hmm. And right,
the pictures that you post of these just incredible scenes. Connie, yours of Utah with the moon and
computers
was just mind-blowing. But I think nature, again, going back, and it's been written about so many times, but nature and being physically out in nature can just alter our perspective on ourselves and on life. and it's all around us, mm-hmm. all around us.
Yeah, thank you, Joy. Let me know how you make out, and I can do a coaching session with you if you need.
Before or after?
Anytime.
It made me think of, though, when Joy was talking, when I got into Nikan, and I went, a friend did sell me on a lot of that. It's and it had to do with magnets and special mattress, but I became very aware of the magnetic forces within the earth and how so much is paved over and where we are and what you feel. And so that was sort of my beginning into looking into energy force, probably 20 years ago, tiptoeing in. And I also did all sorts of things with horses and magnets and magnetic blankets. It's interesting how sometimes we who love our animals will do anything for them, but then we don't always do it for ourselves. And I'm thinking, oh, between glucosamine and the right shoeing and pads and her joints and all sorts of things, and then filling in for her back with a magnetic blanket and then also a gel pad and all these things to produce comfort for older horses. I'm like, well, I'm not getting any younger.
I'm an older horse.
We're all older, except for Martin and Jen. Yvonne, what's your thinking? What's your takeaway from our time together?
I like what Martin said about the office scene. We're one, just, I'm done. And I thought about also nature. Possibilities kept coming up that journey. I was always really good at doing things, going outside to do things, whether it's volunteering or whatever. And this year, well, 2020, was such an inward journey. Mm-hmm. And what I have to say is I could not have done it without this group. It's for me, I need a collective group. This is such an intelligent, insightful group. And there's such a richness to what I have experienced from the comments and from just everything in this group. And Nina, thank you for bringing us together, because it wasn't an accident that we're all here. I mean, it's the universe just brought us all here. And the growth that I've had has been really inward. And that journey, I realized that that is where home is, and that I'm okay. That really, I'm okay. I don't have to find it elsewhere. And Joy, when you talked about nature, I loved it when nothing was going on. We didn't hear planes. We heard birds. I mean, I'm in a city here, but you could go by the water, and but just seeing nature truly. And anyway, I'm rambling, but I just, to me, it's so significant. I've been in tears throughout the day that this was our last Love in Action. And this is the beginning of, for me, humanity and decency and honesty and truth starting today.
Pretty astounding.
Yes.
It's pretty astounding. It's true. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Yvonne, is it the beginning, or did we go on the journey and now we're back where we started? Right?
Well, I'll have to sit with that for it's a spiral, and there's, it's almost like that endless circle, that endless, what is it, the snail? Yeah. I forgot what they call that. What is that in nature?
Is it the Mobius strip?
Fibonacci series.
Yeah, that. How about you, Hope? You haven't spoke yet.
No, I've been taking in what everybody else has said, and I feel the same way. I feel like I did go full circle. You know, I had talked about this a year ago about going on this journey, and I remember being questioned about, what do you mean a journey? And I said, yeah, I'm going on a journey. I want to find my best self. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've sort of out of my control been forced to do that with COVID, with everything else, with this group. And I feel like I'm kind of back where I started, only better. Mm-hmm. Right? Which is what I wanted. And I think back to myself only better is my true self. Mm-hmm. And I had said over the course of the year that I wanted to be my authentic self. I wanted to be who I wanted to be, because there's an authentic me in there somewhere. Who is it? And I think that's my true self. So I feel like that's where I am. And so that's my growth, realizing that it's my true self and I'm back there and better. And I'm looking forward to actually the next program to see what growth we get out of that. But I know a lot of people were talking about home, and my home is in Columbia County. And again, it's changed a lot over the years. And I go back there and I still feel like a little kid. But one thing that I did was I took our family's kitchen table out of my parents' house and I redid it and I put it in my house. And every night when I sit down at dinner, I'm home. Mm. We have the best memories there because we sat down as a family to dinner every night. So I think about that, you know, that's home. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I hear home and a safe place centering in a lot of our comments. I posted something earlier that I found when I was cleaning up this weekend. Mm. A refrigerator magnet that never made it to the refrigerator. Mary, all my life I've wanted to find a safe place. It's just something unspoken and spoken, and I don't know where that comes from, probably another life, but that's what the mountain represents to me. But it's also what we've been talking about, finding it within ourselves. But it says, if I can read it without my readers, peace does not mean to be in a place where there's no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart. So I think that it helps to have a physical place where you feel safe, and it helps to have a group of people where you feel unjudged and loved and appreciated for who you are. But I think it goes back to also loving ourselves and appreciating ourselves, and hope seeing ourselves perhaps for the first time, our better selves, and not having that be dependent on anybody else or anything, just that we are here.
Well, isn't that the definition of security in a way, just knowing that you're enough?
Yeah. I'm working on it, and I think that's part of the thing that's brought us all together, is we're all in search of that maybe sense of home and calm and peace, joy, creativity. I don't know.
And we accept each other for who we are, our truth. Truth is love, and love is truth. And you speak your truth. We feel it emanates from everyone here, just a truth and genuineness. And that's love.
I want to play with you guys now.
Okay. Oh, yay!
I want to do somersaults and headstands, but I also want to do music, and I think we should take some walks. And Nina, I bet you could get us into some finger painting. I don't want anything too complicated. Something that's going to get us really messy and
messy is good.
Messy up to our eyeballs.
Okay, we'll do it.
How many people are going to continue? Because such a loss to. Somebody's not
going to
continue. I
want to
tell you.
I'm going to try.
Let me do this. Let me end the recording because we're a few minutes over the hour, and then we can chat about the continuation if that's okay with everyone. Let's see where.